Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience. Hello, welcome back to Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience. Let's get into your Sunday for round six. Obviously had a big Sunday with the Dragons taking on the Tigers, that being a close, exciting game. And then the Raiders and the Titans, talk about close games. This one was decided in Golden Point, our second Golden Point game this week. We had a bunch of thrillers, a bunch of close games. I think there was only one blowout the entire week. So really entertaining game, really entertaining host of games, I should say, this weekend. But these two games were a great way to finish off what was round six of the NRL season so far in 2024. We'll start off with the Dragons and the Tigers. Obviously, a great game from both sides. Obviously, it's a game that you know you're going to have on your Sunday. It is a slinger type game. There were a few errors in this one, but I thought that both sides played quite well. Obviously, the Dragons looking like, for the most part, the better side. The Tigers getting a host of possession, not being able to score too many points, only scored the 12 points, but it was one of those tight games. It was a great game through the middle, and it was really enjoyable. Let's talk about the Tigers first. Obviously, some key standouts from this game. The one and only Zach Lomax, doing what he does every single week this season. I'd probably have him to start creeping into the Origin chat. Is he going to make his debut this season? Obviously, nearly made his debut only a few years ago. But I think he's definitely in the conversation now. The only thing holding him back for Origin for me would be the amount of low percentage plays that he does per game. We saw a bunch of them in this one as well. A few offloads, particularly that one to Ben Hunt on that right-hand side, that was never coming off. It was pretty low percentage. Yes, usually when he does go for these big plays, they mostly do come off, but in the Origin arena, especially in a tight game, you don't want to be going constantly for low percentage plays. Obviously, he's a guy that can win you a game, but he can also lose you a game with these low percentage plays, and that's the only thing really holding him back for me for putting him in an Origin outfit. I think if we see him compete a little bit more with some more high percentage plays, then I'd definitely consider having him on a wing potentially. I'd probably then take out Jack White and I'd move Tom Trbojevic into the centers, and then I'd probably have him on the wing if we're going off the lineup that I read out on the podcast the other week with the random stats guy. But Zach Lomax, I think he's definitely in the conversation now. Had a blinder in this game, looked really, really solid out there on the wing. Obviously scored a try in the first 3 minutes, but every time they went down that right-hand side, he just looked so threatening, so dangerous with the ball in hand. Ended up getting 139 metres, 52 post-contact metres, a line break, a try assist, and 3 tackle busts. Very dangerous out there on the wing. I thought that Jack Bird, obviously he got taken off around the 36-minute mark with a head injury. Was ruled out straight away, category 1. Obviously, they're going to have him out for the mandatory 11 days. Didn't really look like a category 1, but look, we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, the Dragons are a bit furious with this one, so I imagine they'll go and challenge it, just like the Roosters challenged the Sam Walker one the other week. Not the Bulldogs one, but the one before that. I imagine they are going to challenge it, or there'll be something in the media about them wanting to challenge it or something along those lines at some stage. But my two cents, it didn't really look like a category one, but that's what the medical professionals thought. And, you know, if he's not safe to come back next week, it is what it is. If it's their opinion, I'm not a doctor. I'm not, anyway, educated about this sort of thing. So my opinion about this really means nothing. Going into next week, it will be quite interesting to see who they do bring in. But yeah, Jack Bird on that left is really, I'd say, a pretty decent loss, especially with the amount of times he sets up Lomax on that right-hand side. It'd be interesting to see who they do end up bringing in. But yeah, big loss for me, Jack Bird. I think centers his position. They've found his position finally. So devastating, and especially when he's been out with injury quite a bit last year, obviously with that arthritis, I believe it was, in the ankle or the foot. It is quite devastating to see him out yet again for that 11-day stand down. And as I said, big loss for the Dragons. Some other standouts, though, talking about positive stuff for the Dragons. I thought Jaden Sewer had one of his best weeks. Obviously ran for 18 runs, had 168 metres, 52 post-contact metres, a line break, 5 tackle busts, 18 hit-ups, 19 tackles there on the edge, only missed 2 tackles. I thought that he was great, had a really solid game there on the edge, took plenty of runs, and just looked dangerous every time he ran the ball there too on the right-hand side. I thought that coming off the bench, Blake Laurie and Jack DeBellin, they were unreal, both of them with massive impact coming off the bench in this game. Obviously, Blake Laurie, he ended up playing 43 minutes, 110 metres from 13 runs, 22 tackles and 0 missed. And then obviously, Jack DeBellin, 144 metres of 18 runs, had 45 post-contact, had a tackle bust in there as well, 28 tackles, only missed 1. Big, big day for Jack DeBellin. Raymond Faitala-Marana too on that left-hand side. Big defensive outing for him. 42 tackles out there on the edge. Did a great job. Only missed 2 tackles there as well. Yeah, plenty of standouts here for the Dragons. Obviously, in terms of negatives, if I have to critique one thing for the Dragons in what was a pretty decent performance, Ben Huntley's kicking game was great as well. Worth mentioning, obviously kicked for 528 metres, had a great game with the boot, and obviously looked great when he ran the ball and when he took the ball down that right-hand side. Only criticism for this game for the Dragons would be Tyrell Sloan and his involvement. Had 10 runs for 77 metres. He's sort of creeping back into old habits here, obviously. In that dark day for Tyrell Sloan, he didn't get involved as much, didn't take too many runs, had low meters, and, you know, by the end of it got dropped. So I don't want to see that happen to Tyrell Sloan again. Sort of creeping back into those old habits after a really strong start to the year. We need to get those numbers up. 10 runs, he's got to have more than that. He's got to have at least 15 to 20 runs for me to be satisfied. Because he can just do so much for you with the ball in hand. He's so dangerous when he runs the ball. His support play is great. I'd just like to see him have a few more runs. That's the only criticism I really have here for Tyrell Sloan. Other than that, the Dragons were outstanding. I thought the Tigers were great as well. I thought the Tigers played quite well through the middle. I thought other than the 2 really silly plays from him, David Clemmer, through the middle, it was one of his better games of the season. Had 12 runs for 128 metres there in the middle, 60 post-contact metres, 12 hit-ups in this game. Obviously had 34 tackles with 0 missed. I thought he was great. I thought Isaiah Papali'i as well was quite good, 10 runs, 83 metres, had 48 tackles with only 2 missed there on the edge. I thought he had played quite a solid game. On the edge, Isaiah Papali'i. And then you've obviously got Asu Kapola coming off the bench and having a great game on the edge there. 53 minutes he played on the edge, 134 metres off 10 runs, 53 post-contact metres there. He had 2 line breaks, 2 tackle busts, and then 18 tackles there. I thought he did quite well coming into this game. Obviously, much better than him not playing at all, not getting any minutes, which is what happened to Jake Simpkin, which was really confusing. I mean, with Abbie Coruscant, you know, going down with a cramp, then looking to go down a little bit uncomfortable as well in this game. Obviously, the prior week had an injury in the warm-up, but still managed to play. You'd think that Jake Simpkin would get some minutes for Abbie Coruscant. It was a bit weird to see Simpkin not come into the game, especially when Abbie Coruscant, by the end of it, was getting cramps and all sorts of things. Really, really strange. Again, the only criticism for me that I would have for the Tigers, I'll talk about one guy as well, though, before we get to the criticisms. Let's talk a bit more positive first. Jareem Buller. We speak about it all the time on BTFU, or at least I speak about it all the time on BTFU, and every time I preview the Tigers, really, Jareem Buller has to be one of the more consistent fullbacks in the competition. He is just unreal. Every week, running over 100 metres, you know, 20, 30 runs per game pretty much, or I might be a little bit hyperbolic with those stats, but he just gets a fuck ton of runs, fuck ton of meters. He's always consistent. He's heavily involved in games for the Tigers, and that's when the Tigers look at their best too, when he's just heavily involved. Had a 212 meters off 23 runs, 57 post-contact meters, 3 tackle busts in this game. Just looked really solid with football in hand. Really, really solid. And again, just one of the more consistent fullbacks at the moment. Just getting getting very similar stats every single week and getting just as involved every single week, no matter if it's the Dragons he's versing or if it's the Melbourne Storm or if it's the Penrith Panthers. He's just always just as involved and just as committed to getting his side the win or getting his side some points on the board. He is so, so good, Dream Buller, and he really stood out in this game as well, particularly when the Tigers had a lot of ball, particularly in that second half, or first half, sorry, when they had a full 10 minutes of possession straight up. Junior Supo, he's going to be sorely missed going into next year. I mean, 15 runs, 165 metres, 50 post contact, a line break assist, 4 tackle busts. He was so dangerous in this game on the wing there, on that left-hand side. He is going to be sorely missed when he goes over to Redcliffe. He is going to be sorely missed. Such a good footballer. Charlie Staines, one of his better games as well. 18 runs for 175 metres, 4 tackle busts there, 71 post contact. I thought that he looked quite good as well. Obviously, nearly getting a try. But just one of his better games of the season. Obviously, I think had a little bit of a rough start to the year, but slowly warming into it and looking better as the weeks go on. Jaden Sullivan, a little bit rough with his ball playing. He didn't cap off some opportunities that he should have. Threw some really questionable passes as well. Again, we talked about it with Lomax, just some of those low percentage plays. Jaden Sullivan was sort of getting that creeping into his game. Not the best thing to happen when, obviously, you're fighting for that sixth role. Because as soon as our friend Lachie Galvin comes back into this side, he is coming straight into that sixth jersey after the way that he started the year. So, Jaden Sullivan looking a bit 50-50 with that ball playing. Something that he's going to have to work on, whether it be in that 14 role or in reserve grade. Definitely going to have to work on his ball skills and just, you know, going for more high percentage plays in games. Aiden Caesar, I thought, looked quite good. Ran for a stack of meters. Had 343 kick meters off 12 kicks. I thought he looked quite good there at 7. Now let's get to the criticism here. Stefano Utsukamanu. 93 metres off 9 runs, and he played for 60 minutes. 9 runs, 60 minutes, the key point there that I'm trying to get across. It's just not good enough, really. 9 runs in 60 minutes of football. It's not the worst thing in the world, but you've got David Clemmer running for 12, Papali'i on the edge running for 10, Saifarth running for 10. You've obviously got Asu Kapoa on an edge running for 10, Matsumura for 6, and, you know, Matsumura had 35 minutes compared to 60. You know, Stefano was on the field double the time. Should have definitely had some more runs in there. A little bit more quiet than what Clemmer was. I thought Clemmer was the main forward in this game. Stefano's definitely going to have to get those stats up if he wants to be that smoky into the Origin side. But yeah, look, interesting one for me. I thought that Stefano was going to have a little bit more impact going up against this sort of opponent, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see with him over the next few weeks. We definitely know what he can do at his best. Let's move on to the next game, the Raiders and the Titans. What about this one? So close. Golden Point decided. It's the second Golden Point game of the round. You don't usually have one Golden Point game in a round, let alone two. Unbelievable stuff. Raiders and Titans, much closer than what I thought it was going to be. Obviously, the Titans scoring one more try than what the Raiders did, but conversions and a penalty goal from the Raiders was the difference, and obviously the field goal for the Raiders winning them the game. A very tight game, very competitive one. Really enjoyed it. Let's look at the stats for this one. In terms of possession, the Raiders had a host of possession here, 59% compared to 41% for the Titans. 87% completion rate here for the Raiders, which is outstanding. 47 from 54 sets compared to the Gold Coast Titans, 82%, 32 from 39 sets completed. So, quite an even game. Possession leans more so to the Raiders. Interesting that they had a lot more possession but were unable to, you know, score more points. But credit to the Gold Coast Titans defense. And I think that AJ at 6 made a huge difference just in terms of getting your stars, getting their hands on the football as much as possible. I mean, AJ, 12 runs. Unreal stuff. I think he looks a lot better at 6. I mean, and at 6 as well, 163 metres as a 5'8 is just unheard of. I was getting heavily involved in this game and looked really, really solid whenever he got the football in his hands. And speaking of AJ Brimson, let's talk about the Gold Coast Titans. Now, if you look at the stats, if you look at how this game went, if you look at the possession like we talked about at the start, you'd understand how well the Titans did to keep the scoreline what it was. And obviously, Alifiana Camperera scored a try in the last 5 minutes of the game. He scored 2 tries in the last 5 minutes of the game just so the Titans could get to Golden Point. It was 20-10 you know, with 10 minutes to go. It looked like it was set in stone. The commentators were getting ready to go to the Matty John show. It literally looked like the game was done, that the Titans had nothing left in the tank. But obviously, Alafiana Camporeira going down that left-hand side scores two tries, and they go to Golden Point. And then Kieran Foran has four attempts at a field goal, can't get it. And then obviously, Jamal Fogarty kicks it over and wins the Raiders the game. But the Gold Coast Titans, I think, did exceptionally well to stay in the contest despite a lot of things going against them, including the stats, especially the possession count. Raiders having nearly 60% of the ball compared to, obviously, 41% for the Gold Coast Titans. So, yeah, for the Titans to be close in this game, for the Raiders to not have scored more points, it is just absolutely absurd. Definitely for the Titans, I thought that one of the better players in that side was Jamin Joloff through the middle. I thought that he set a real impact. He had a great game through the middle of the park. It was some really tough carries. 9 runs, but ran for 103 metres, had 30 post-contact metres, a line break in there, and a tackle bust. He had 55 tackles, 0 missed. Huge defensive effort, but I thought when he ran the ball, he ran it with a lot of intensity. He looked like one of the tougher forwards out in the park. Shout out to Mo Fotowaker as well there through the middle. 132 metres from 13 runs, 54 post-contact metres, 12 hit-ups with 1 tackle bust in there, 37 tackles for big Mo Fotowaker. Chris Randall, 61 tackles in this game. Absolutely absurd. Another guy for the Titans that I thought was a real game-changer was Dave Fifita. He was unbelievable. They obviously moved him to the bench before the game started and chucked in, obviously, Klesse Haas into the back row with Isaac Liu. But as soon as Dave Fifita came onto the field, the Titans looked like they had a little bit more go forward in the tank. Obviously, ran for 214 metres from 20 runs. He played 69 minutes, 89 post-contact metres, 19 hit-ups with a tackle bust in there as well, 28 tackles, 3 missed there from Dave Fifita. But every time he ran the ball, he just looked so, so dangerous. And 20 runs of the footy, super impressive. Now, we talked about, obviously, AJ Brimson moving into the 5'8 jersey. 12 runs, 163 metres. Absolutely absurd. 5 tackle busts in there as well. He's getting centre stats at 5'8". Great runner of the footy, AJ Brimson. Made 19 tackles too. There in the middle of the park playing 5'8". But just so dangerous every time he ran the ball, every time he broke the line, it looked like something was going to happen. AJ to 6 has to be the best move that the Titans could have made going into this week, and I think it's why this game was as close as it was, because AJ was creating a lot of opportunities for his side and looking really good there in the number 6 jersey. In saying that, the Raiders, they had a lot more of the ball. They looked a lot better with the ball too, but whenever the Titans did have the ball, AJ, Dave Fifita, definitely stood out for me. So did Jaden Campbell, 5 tackle busts. He had 81 metres off 14 runs. Definitely would have had a lot more than that. Only played 64 minutes before coming off with a knee injury. That's going to be a little bit concerning. Does Tanner Boyd come back into the side? Do they go with Tom Weaver? I think AJ will probably go to fullback if Jaden Campbell is out. So who is going to come into the halves, or who comes into fullback? Does Keanu Keeney come back into this team? We'll have to wait and see what happens there with Jaden Campbell. Hopefully nothing too serious. Obviously had a patellar injury. I think he dislocated his kneecap at the back end of last year, which kept him out for the rest of the season. Hopefully nothing that serious. But NRL Physio was saying that when you dislocate your kneecap on one side, it can lead to issues on the other or something along those lines. So we will have to wait and see there. What about Kieran Foran? 718 kicking metres from 18 kicks of the footy. He was doing a lot of the kicking. Obviously, AJ Brimson only having 3 kicks for 61 metres. So Kieran Foran, a lot of work with the boot. I think that includes the 2 field goals or 4 field goals, sorry, that he went for. But yeah, Kieran Foran, I thought that when he did have the ball in his hands at 7, he looked quite good as well. 2 line break assists, 2 try assists in this game. I thought that Kieran Foran was quite good at 7, and I think that's the halves pairing they've got to go for moving forward in this season. As for the Canberra Raiders, as we've said, they were the better team in this one. They had a lot more of the footy. Shout out to Chevy Stewart. I thought he looked quite good in his debut. 23 runs of the football, was heavily involved, had 205 metres, 57 post-contact metres in there as well. I thought at fullback he did a great job for his debut. Plenty of runs of the football, heavily involved there for the Canberra Raiders. Matsumoko having another blinder, 21 runs of the footy, 216 run metres, 82 post-contact, 3 tackle busts. Looked really solid there in the centres. And then Xavier Savage as well. I thought that he was great. 21 runs, 205 metres, 86 post-contact metres, 2 tackle busts. Looking great on that left-hand side there for the Canberra Raiders yet again this week. James Schiller obviously getting a double in this game as well. I thought that he was good again on that right-hand side. Timoko Schiller, we can talk about it all day. This right-hand side is deadly for the Canberra Raiders. James Schiller finishing the game with 17 runs, 141 metres, 43 post-contact metres, 3 tackle busts. I thought that he was unreal. I thought Ethan Strange, his running game was great in this one as well. Jamal Fogarty, Ethan Strange, both looking quite good with ball in hand. Jamal Fogarty had 15 runs in this game. Ethan Strange had 11. They both ran for around 100 metres, with Ethan Strange running for 128 metres, Jamal Fogarty running for 96. 680 kicking metres for Jamal Fogarty there as well. So he was out unreal with the boot. Moving into the middle of the field, though, the standout was Big Joseph Tarpane. 26 runs, 303 run metres, 134 post-contact. He had 23 hit-ups, 2 tackle busts, 33 tackles, 2 miss. Unreal there from Joseph Tarpane. 12 runs for 138 metres for Josh Papali'i as well. And then in terms of the defensive department, made 18 tackles, 0 miss. Zach Hosking, before he came off, I thought was great. Only had the 7 runs for 57 metres, but he did come off in the 33rd minute with that shoulder injury. It looks like he's popped out his shoulder, so he's going to be out for the next few weeks, which is going to be quite a tough one for the Canberra Raiders. Hudson Young scored a try in this game, 21 runs, heavily involved in this 158 metres in this game, 31 tackles there as well. Thought he was great. Morgan Smithies looking great yet again, 16 runs of the footy, 160 metres, 68 post-contact, 16 hit-ups with 2 tackle busts, 43 tackles, 0 missed. Again, another unreal performance. Atta Mariotta coming onto the edge. I thought he was dangerous. I think with Hosking out, he's going to move back to the edge, because as soon as he came on, his footwork at the line, you know, his fend is so powerful as well, and he's quite quick too. I thought that he was generally a middle forward, but I'm slowly getting convinced that he can play really well on the edge there. He did a fantastic job when he came on for Zach Hosking, ended up playing 60 minutes, so the rest of the game, as soon as Hosking came off the field. He was great. 10 runs, 88 metres, 33 post-contact. He had 9 hit-ups in this game as well, with 3 tackle busts. And then in defence, 34 tackles, only 1 missed. Unreal stuff. But obviously, main standouts for the Raiders, Joseph Tarpane there through the middle, having an unreal performance and playing 70 minutes in this game. 70 minutes. Unbelievable. And then obviously the halves, Jamal Fogarty, Ethan Strange, creating a lot of opportunities for their outside men, and then pretty much all of their outside men. Chevy Stewart having a great debut at fullback. James Schiller and Xavier Savage on the wings. Matsumoko, Sebastian Chris in the centres. One of the more dangerous backlines at the moment in terms of what they can do with football in hand. So dangerous. James Schiller and Matsumoko, especially on that right-hand side. But Xavier Savage has been doing really good on the left as well. Seb Chris doing some good work as well in the centres. There were 2 awesome games of footy that we got witness to on your Super Sunday to really round out the round in the best possible way. We've had some great contests. As I said before at the start of this review, we've only had 1 blowout game this round. So really impressive football. Cannot wait for this upcoming week, round 7. That's full time. See you in the next one.